Any of y'all have gotten the latest Warbird Digest, but there's a great, great article all about the airplane, and just came out. Ought to be on sale somewhere. But so we've had it now up and going for 3 or 4 months. Got some time on it. It is on the rides program. It's the only Corsair, I think, right now that's available for to do rides. So if you've got that on your bucket list, that's an airplane to.
You have a back seat, don't you?
It has a back seat, and it's on the FAA rides program, so we're able to do rides with it.
That's really great. That was one of the limitations of the single-seat airplanes like the Corsair, was that you couldn't share it with anybody. And it's one of those airplanes you really want to share because it is just it's just such a superb flying machine.
It's wonderful to fly. It's, I guess all three of us know and a couple others. But it's a lot of fun. It's actually fairly... I think it's kind of easy compared
easier
to most
than a
warbirds. I think it is. I don't know.
I think so too.
But just got to get over the long nose on it, and one of the little odd things about it, I guess, is because of the long nose, it's got a lockable tailwheel. So on landings, when the tailwheel touches down, wherever the nose is pointed, that's where it's going to go. So that's sometimes it'll give you a little jolt, but it's got plenty of rudder to get it back.
Yeah, okay. It's an honest airplane.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
Flies great.
What are the major differences, would you say, between this airplane? And I know we've got an F4U4 and an F4U5. The only one that I know of that we don't have is an F4U7. We don't.
Right. There's only a couple of those around,
yeah.
I think.
The 7 was the last model. They built the. How long did they build Corsairs?
Well, up into the 50s. So
late
50s.
Yeah.
I think it might have been a little late because they built them for the French. Do you know that, Stuart? Okay. Yeah, they started building for the French. They did the guy was like an something an oddball deal, like an A7 or
yeah.
Something kind of weird number. But the main difference is the F4U-1 and the FG-1D, which is this is are the same. That was kind of the earlier model. Chance Vought designed and built the airplane, and then they wanted to move on to a couple other things and make different models, but they contracted with Goodyear to build the -1 model. Well, because they were under contract, they couldn't make any modifications or changes to it. So Goodyear only made the -1 model,
right?
As the FG-1D, which was for Goodyear.
When did they get away from the birdcage canopy? The early F4U-1s had a multifaceted canopy that was a little hard to see out of.
It was hard to see out of, and that was one of the things, as we know, that with that in the landing gear, coming aboard carrier, they had a hard time seeing the carrier. The earlier landing gear tended to bounce, and they'd miss the cables, so they had a lot of problems. So they gave them over to the Marines to fly off the islands. But the D model had the bubble canopy and made it a little easier to see out of. They raised the seat up a little bit and put a lot more forgiving landing gear on it. When Alan was checking me out, and he said, you can't do a bad landing in it.
Oh. And, you can prove him wrong.
Well, yeah, you can. But the gear, I've always watched guys land. If you watch Corsairs land, the wheels just touch down and just squeak on kind of usually. And the gear gives so much that when you're watching an airplane land, you only look at its wheels. You never look at the airplane. But the wheels can be on the ground. The airplane can be going all over the place, but the wheels don't leave the ground. And that's what happens a few times. I had one pretty hard landing in it, stalled it a few feet off the ground and kind of slammed it in, thought this is it. And there's probably as many people as you standing there. Some fly-in going out to the airport. And that's what kind of got me a little uptight. I only had about 5 hours in it. And I thought, oh, I'm rolling it into a ball right in front of all these people. And next thing I knew, I was just rolling down there, and everybody came out and said, that was the greatest landing I ever saw. So should have been in here.
How many pilots are here? How many of you are pilots? Then you know what the shock struts are on the gear. And if you'll look at these and you don't know what you're looking at, you'll think that these need to be pumped up because you don't see any polish. And in almost every hydraulically cushioned landing gear, you see polished struts. And Corsair, you better not put enough nitrogen in it to show a polished strut, or you're in trouble.
Right. Yeah, this has kind of a orifice chamber type mechanism in there that, as it absorbs, it doesn't come back. It just keeps taking everything it has and just slowly kind of comes down and settles down on the gear. So that's what gives you that nice little touchdown, typically. So. I'm going to let Stuart talk about flying it. He's our chief pilot and does our check rides in-house and flies just about everything we have. So, Stuart, you want to talk about it a little bit?
Well, first off, I'm honored to get to fly the airplane. I'm very partial to the Corsairs. Been fortunate to fly most of the World War II fighters, and the first fighter I checked out in was the CAF Corsair, which is also an FG-1D. And flown five different airframes, flown the fours and the fives, and these early model airplanes, in my opinion, fly the best. It's like a Bonanza or a Cessna. You know, they're the lightest of the ones. They're very quiet. The exhaust, if you see, goes underneath the airplanes, where on the fours and the fives, it's on the side, and very nice airplane. On the landing, the one thing that you do have to watch out for is if you look at when the wings are down, in a crosswind, you always have air under the wing. So it can get squirrely, and the uncomfortable part of it is like they've said, the wheels are on the ground, but a wing will start to rise up, and it can get ugly quick. Bill, what model did you fly?
I've flown the fours, fives, and FG-1Ds just like you. I agree with you. I think the FG-1D is far and away the most pleasant airplane to fly, and it just doesn't have any bad vices except one, the updraft carburetor,
right.
And I had a nice fire one day, and one of my friends was standing out there as a fire guard. When you start a radial engine, you'll see somebody standing out there who's supposed to be knowledgeable and who has a fire extinguisher. That's the way you're supposed to do it. Well, I had my friend out there with a fire extinguisher standing there. The one thing I didn't have was a knowledgeable friend. And I saw smoke coming as I was turning it over, and so I leaned away from my microphone and said, is it on fire? And he said, yeah. And that's all there was to it. Use the damn fire extinguisher. So, but they did change. Most of the others are a different carbureted system.
I've flown one of those. I delivered one. I picked one up with that updraft carburetor from California, and ended up going all the way across the United States into Canada with it. And of course, it broke several times along the way. But I was just petrified, because I talked to guys about a fire, and, you know, knock on wood, I was able to make it all the way without doing it. But when I delivered the airplane, it's kind of comical. They had that thing on fire. I mean, the first two or three days, I mean, we were all out there trying to start it, and but they figured it out, and they're doing great with the airplane.
Well, it's supposed to start quick. It just sometimes doesn't do that. These airplanes were used by a number of Middle American, South American, whatever you want to call it, countries in their rebellion. And one I had a bullet hole in it, and I never patched it because it was my only proof that it was a true war veteran. But it's really one of those great airplanes that you just can't help but smile when you climb in it. I'm going to tell you just a quick story. A lot of these were flown by the Marines for the simple reason that the gull wing and the big engine and made it where they were scared of flying it on the boat initially, until they learned how to do it and made a few changes in procedures. But the if you see Marines who are on Guadalcanal, if you ever talk to one, they'll look at that airplane and say, it saved my you know what. And they really, I had one at the Tahlequah fly-in in Tulsa, and there was an older Marine there. There are no ex-Marines, as I'm sure, and no apology to any Marine, but he was very feeble, and I said, would you like to get in the cockpit? You know, you don't do that because people can push the wrong button at the wrong time, but I thought it'd really be nice if he could get there since it saved him. And he said, well, I'm too feeble. I just scared to get up there. I said, well, we can lift you up there. He was reluctant. I said, well, would you like to see it fly? And I wasn't scheduled to fly it. So I decided I would fly it for him. And I took off, and I mean, the tears were streaming down his face. It was just, it's unbelievable how they feel, how the grunt land-based Marines who were on Guadalcanal or Okinawa feel about Corsairs. They love them.
Yeah, most of them, I mean, they all do. Everybody that's ever flown a Corsair loves it. Archie, as I said, was ace in the day twice with Corsairs. He ended up with 14 kills altogether. And he loved the airplane. He talked about it a lot. We got him up in there, and it was the same type of deal. We had his family there, took family shots. There's a photo in this article of Archie and I sitting by it, and Archie in it. And he was really a neat guy.